Tonight's shiur is on Yom Kippur, and it's titled Identifying the Evil Inclination. So tonight, instead of looking at a story, we're going to look at an agadata in the Gemara Sukkah that relates to the Yetzer Hara. And it's a fascinating Gemara, so we'll try to look at it and analyze it inside. And it's definitely applicable to Yom Kippur because of its reference or relevance to Tshuva. So if we look in source number one, it's the Gemara in Sukkah Daf Nun Beis Amud Aleph. And it says as follows, Darash Rabbi Avira Vitema Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. So Rabbi Avira, and some say it was Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, they had this drasha, they had this insight. Shiva Shemos Yeshlo Liyetzer Hara. There are seven names that are given to the Yetzer Hara. So the evil inclination of man, the part of man that drives him towards Ra. So there are seven names for it, brought down. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Karu Ra. So the first name is Ra, just evil. Shenemar, as it says, Ki Yetzer Lev HaAdam Ra Minu Urav. When it comes to, this is a Pasuk reference to Noach. And in the Pasuk, Hashem calls the Yetzer HaRa, he just calls it Ra. And he says that the lev, the heart of man, is evil from his youth. Moshe Karu Arel. So Moshe calls it Arel, uncircumcised. Shenemar Umaltem Es Orlas Levavchem, that you should circumcise the foreskin of your heart. So the second name, the first name is Ra, the second name is Moshe. Moshe calls the Yetzer Hara, the evil inclination of man, an Ara. David Karu Tame. David calls it impure, Tame. Shenemar, Lev Tahor Berali Elokim. He says that Hashem should create for me a pure heart, Mechlal Deika Tame, which implies that there's also an impure heart. So at this point, we're in source number one. So the Gemara says that there are seven names for the Yetzer Hara. The first one is Ra, that's from Hashem. The second one is from Moshe, he calls it an Arel. And the third one is from David, he calls it Tame. Now Shlomo, we keep going, we're going to just read through the Gemara and then we'll try to define each one and give the insight and analysis. Shlomo Karu Sonai. So Shlomo called the Yetzer Hara, the evil inclination of man, an enemy, Shnamar. As it says, Im ra'ev sonacha hachilu lachem v'tsame hashkeu mayim ki gechalem ata v'chote al rosho v'ashem yishalem lach. Al tikre yishalem lach eli yashlimenu lacha. So it says that when you have an enemy and he's hungry, if your enemy is hungry, so you should feed him bread. And if your enemy is thirsty, you should give it water, because heaping coals you will put on its head and Hashem will reward you. And the Gemara says, "Al tikre yishalem lecha eli yashlimenu lecha." Not that he will reward you, but he will be at peace with you. Okay, so Rashi explains that one. And source number two, Rashi says, "Im ra'ev sonacha yitrecha hara ra'ev v'ta'ev la'avera." So if your evil inclination is desirous of doing an avera, hachilu lechem, hatricheu b'milchamta shel Torah d'chsev lechu lachmi b'lachmi. So you should fight with the fight of Torah and give it bread. Hashkeu maim, or in Rashi, in source number two, Torah dechsib ba hoi kol tzameh lechul maim. And you should give it Torah. It's another reference to water. Water and Torah are comparable. Yashli menelucha sheishali mitzrucha imcha. So if you do this, if you feed your enemy, meaning your Yetzer Hara, with Torah, it'll end up being at peace with you. Ve'ovcha, and it'll love you. Val yasiyacha lachto v'avim na'olam. And it won't cause you to do harm and bring you out of this world. So the fourth name is Sone. The fifth name, we're up to the source, we're back in source number one, Yeshaya Karu Michshel. He called it a stumbling block, like it says by the Ani, that you shouldn't put a stumbling block. Shenamar, as it says, Solu Solu Panu Derech, cast ye up, clear the way from its stumbling block, from the stumbling blocks, Michshel Miderech Ami, from the way of my people. So he calls the Yetzer Hara Michshel, a stumbling block. Yechezkel Karu Evan. Yechezkel calls the evil inclination in Evan a stone. Shenemar vasirosius leva Evan mevasarachem nasati lechem lev basar. Yoel karu tzifoni. And Yoel called the Yetzer Hara tzifoni, the hidden one. Shenemar vesat tzifoni archik me'alechem. That which is hidden, I will remove from you. Okay, so the Gemara says in Sukkah, Nun Beis Amud Aleph, that there are seven names to the evil inclination of man. The first one is Ra, from Hashem. The second one is from Moshe, it's Arel. The third one is David, he calls the Yetzer Hara Tameh. The fourth one is from Shlomo, and he calls it an enemy, a Sone. The fifth one is from, who's the fifth one from? It's from Yeshaya, and it's called a Michshol, stumbling block. The sixth one is from Yechezkel. He calls the Yetzer Hara an Evan, a stone. And the last one is from Yoel, and he calls it Tzvoni. He calls it a hidden one. So obviously, before we analyze each one, and there's, you know, there's a lot of analysis here, the question is, what should our approach be to this Gemara? How do we explain the idea that there are seven names to the Yetzer Hara? What does that even mean? Okay, so I think before anybody want to try an approach, just before we analyze each pasuk on its own, what would the Gemara mean? Why does the Gemara tell us that there are seven names to the Yetzer Hara? What's the idea of that? What's the benefit of teaching us that? So I think the idea, somebody can cut me off if they have a possibility, but I think the idea of a name is an idea of a character trait. And you see that from Adam. It says that Adam named all the animals. So what's the concept? What's the big chiddush, the big advantage and the new insight that Adam had that he was able to name the animals? The idea is that he was able to characterize them and categorize them, and names usually reflect, at least in the animal kingdom, names reflect a certain feature or characteristic of the animal. So too, I believe the Gemara in Sukkah is telling us that each one of these names is expressing a unique character trait or insight into the Yetzer Hara, the way it works, how we're supposed to approach it. So each one, each name is giving us insight into the way it operates, the way the Yetzer Hara, the evil inclination of man, operates. And each one, I think, is a chiddush, is a new idea. So we have to look, instead of just trying to look at it in terms of the words used, Hara, or the idea of Sone and Arel, we have to look at the context of the Psukim, and then with that, we can analyze, you know, each idea on its own, and then we'll put it all together. So I think that's the approach that we're going to take. So in general, the universal approach over here, I think, is that each name is reflective of how the Yetzer Hara works and how it operates. And it's actually very, very relevant for us in terms of our knowledge of it so that we can do tshuva properly. So if we look in source number 3, let's hit up the first source. The first source is Noach. It's source number 3. It says, Vayarach ad Hashem esreach nichoach vayomer Hashem el libo, Loosif lekalel odes hadama bavur haadam, ki yetzer lev haadam ra minu ra, veloosif od lakos es kol chai kasher asisi. So after Noach brings korban, Hashem smells this pleasant smell, and he says to himself, I'm not going to punish the people of this earth anymore, because the nature of man, ki yetzer lev haadam ra minu ra, the nature of man is evil from his youth. Veloosif od lakos es kol chai kasher asisi. And I will not destroy the world like I did by the flood. So what is the concept that Hashem is alluding to by referencing or by calling the Yetzer Hara, the Yetzer Ra, calling it evil? What is the idea of this pasuk? What's the insight given? So the Radak on this pasuk gives a very beautiful analysis, and then we'll use the Radak to try to explain the first idea of our Gemara in Sukkah. So the Radak is in source number 4, and he says, Ki Yetzer Lev Adam Ra Minu Rav. The nature of man is to be evil from his youth. So Karu Yetzer, why is it called Yetzer? Lefisha Notzar Imo, because it's created with him. So that's why we call it the Yetzer Hara, Yetzer Atov. It means that it's created with him. The Amar Minu Urov, so the Pasuk says that it was Ra Minu Urov, that it's evil from his youth, from man's youth, or humanity's youth. Ki Yetzer Hara Hu Ba'adam Kodem Yetzer Atov. So the Radak says that the Yetzer Hara precedes the Yetzer Atov. The evil inclination precedes man's ability to do good, and to be driven towards the good. Ki ein bo yetzer tov befall ach yigdal v'ikneu me'at me'at. Man only develops yetzer tov as he gets older, and then he acquires it slowly. Kemosha Amar, he's going to explain. Kemosha Amar v'ish navuv yilavev v'ayir para adam yivalein. So that means an empty man will gain understanding, and from a wild donkey a man will be born. It's an eov. Pirish ayir para, what does it mean, a wild donkey? Hua adam. This is man, shenolad, when he's born, v'hu navav below lev, he's empty of understanding, he doesn't have any understanding, klomar below seichel. A lot of times the Torah uses the word lev to reference the mind, and it says that when a person's born, when a baby's born, his mind is underdeveloped. So that's what it's saying, he's a wild donkey. V'achar kach yilavev, klomar kone lev ma'ad ma'ad. And as man gets older and his mind develops, then he's able to be driven towards the Yetzer HaTov, or Yetzer HaTov developed with his mind. V'chevan she Yetzer HaDam Ra, since man's nature is to be evil, kichin ra'isi b'chachmasi livro aso. So Hashem's saying, this is how I created man. Kichin tzarech lefi teva hametzios. This is necessary based on, this is an interesting point, this is necessary based on the natural world and his existence in nature. Hu chote berov, he's going to be, most people are going to be chotim, they're going to be sinners. Im lo echad mine elef, lefichach, it's not that rare, it's going to be rare for a person not to sin, it's more common for people to sin. Lefichach lo osif ol lahakosis kol chai ba'avuro kasher asisi. And that's why Hashem decides that he's not going to destroy the world as he had done by the Mabul. So at this point, we're just going to stop here. So the Radak's saying an interesting idea about the Yetzer Hara versus the Yetzer HaTov. So he says that the Yetzer HaTov, the Yetzer Hara precedes the Yetzer HaTov. The Yetzer Hara man is born with, and then the Yetzer HaTov develops as man's mind develops, as his lev develops. He says his lev is his seichel. So when his mind develops, so then the Yetzer HaTov develops. And he says that kichin ra'isi b'chachmasi livro. So this was part of God's chachma and how he created man. Kichin tzarech lefi teva hametzios. This is necessary based on the natural existence of man. And therefore, he's a chote. So what does that mean? What is that point here? So I think the Radak's saying an interesting concept about the Yetzer Hara. He's saying that the Yetzer Hara is, what does it mean that it's man's nature? The Yetzer Hara is the driving force of the Yetzer Hara is really also the driving force for man's survival initially. See, the driving force of the Yetzer Hara are the instincts of man. So man's need for all these different types of gratifications, the appetitive gratification. So all those instincts, for example, so all those instincts are really built into the nature of man as he's born. And they're really necessary for man to survive. They're part of man's survival instincts. So man's so when even a baby, a baby's desire and instincts to eat and to find and to eat, all those ideas and all those instinctual drives are really necessary for man to survive. He has to have that instinctual drive for them for a man to survive. But the Yetzer HaTov is really it really comes about after man develops. So the Radak's saying that the Yetzer Hara is particularly dangerous based on this pasuk because it's embedded in the survival of man. That man's survival, quality of survival, a man's survival of the fittest, that idea, which was part of the way God created the world. Because it says, the Radak says, Kichen ra'isi b'chach masi livro oso, that Hashem recognized that the way man should be created is that he should be created with these instincts, almost like an animal, animalistic instincts, for the purpose of survival. And then after, once those exist, then the Yetzer HaTov develops afterwards. But really the Yetzer Hara is more powerful than the Yetzer HaTov because it's embedded with man's instinct for survival. And he continues, this is also, he continues, Uvidurazal, so in the Gemara, Shal Antoninus as Rebbe. Antoninus asked Rebbe this question, Yetzer Hara, me'emasai nitan ba'adam. When is the Yetzer Hara placed in man? Mishas Yetziro or Mishas Yetzia? Is it from his creation, or is it from when he comes out of his mother? Amar le, Mishas Yetzira. So he said, from the time of his creation. Amar lo, lav, it can't be. She'im kein haya bo'et b'mei imo v'yotze. If that were the case, then he would try to get out of his mother's womb. Ela Mishas Yetzia. So the answer is no, that the Yetzer Hara is created when man escapes, when he gets out of, when a baby comes out of his mother's womb, that's when the Yetzer Hara exists. Amar Rebbe, so Rebbe said he learned this from Antoninus, and he brings a pasuk as Araya. When he comes out of his mother's womb, that's when the Yetzer Hara kicks in. So interesting question. It sounds like a question in nature versus nurture. It sounds like the question is the Yetzer Hara embedded in the genetics of in the science of man, or is it a behavioral phenomenon that when man is created in order to survive and in order to exist in this world, so he needs the source of the Yetzer Hara, the instinctual drives, in order to allow him to exist, or do they even exist as part of his creation, meaning are they part of his genetic code, are they part of his physiological makeup? So the Radak's bringing down the classic question of, it seems like, the classic question of nature versus nurture. But the main idea of the Radak and the first idea of the Shir is that the nature of the Yetzer Hara is such that it's embedded, it's the source of the Yetzer Hara, the instinctual drives, are really essentially primary. to the Yetzer HaTov because of the fact that man needs these drives to survive. And the Yetzer HaTov develops as man gets older, but the Yetzer Hara is really more essentially embedded in man's need and man's survival because the instincts, just like an animal, the instincts drive man towards that goal, towards the goal of survival. So that's why. So that's the first instance, the first insight. The first insight is that Ki Yetzer Leva Adam Ra Minurav, is that Hashem calls the Yetzer Hara Ra. It's not the name Ra, it's not the title Ra, it's the concept that the Pasuk's expressing, which is the idea that the Yetzer Hara is more primary in a certain sense than the Yetzer HaTov, because of what I said before, because its source, which are usually, typically, the instincts of man, are really also necessary for man's survival, and they exist prior to the existence of the Yetzer HaTov. So that's the first idea. So I'll put everything together, but the main purpose, like I said, the main purpose of this Gemara is to show us insight into how the Yetzer Hara operates, and we have to understand it, and the names are just a reflection of how they work and what their idea is. So same thing over here. Hashem's teaching us, by naming it Ra, he's teaching us an essential quality in the Yetzer Hara, that the Yetzer Hara and the source of the Yetzer Hara has the potential to be more powerful than the Yetzer HaTov because it's more primary, it's more necessary for man's survival. So that's the first idea. The second idea, so let's move on to Moshe. So Moshe says in source number 5, Umaltem es orlas levavchem v'orpechem lo sakshu od. So in speaking to Bnei Yisrael, he says to them, you should circumcise the foreskin of your heart, and your neck should not be stiff anymore. And Rashi says, what does that mean? Orlas levavchem, otem levavchem v'chisuyav. It's the covering of your heart. So what does this mean? What is this idea in the Yetzer Hara? The first idea was that the Yetzer Hara is really necessary and tied to man's need for and man's instinctual survival. The second idea is Moshe's. Moshe adds on to this a different point. And he says that the Yetzer Hara is called Arel. So in what sense is the Yetzer Hara an Arel for the lave, a foreskin or a covering of the lave? So the Ramban over here gives us the second insight of this year. The Ramban is beautiful. Look in source number 7. He says, Umaltem esor las levavchem, shiye levavchem pasuach ladasa emes. Your hearts, I think he means your mind here. Like I said before, the Radak shows you that lave in the Torah is interchangeable with mind. It also means the mind. So he says that the mind of the people should be open to know the truth. Lo kasher asisem ad hayom, not like you've done until this point. Shelo nasan Hashem lachem lev ladas v'nayim liros uznam mishmoah. So not up to this point where you basically, the Jewish people have been distorted or distorting their senses, and they haven't been accepting the truth. The orpechem lo sakshu od, and he goes on, shalotia kavosechem dor sorer amora. You should not be like your forefathers, a rebellious generation, sheyeshvu im amitrim yilamdu maseim, who learned from the Egyptians and were corrupted by them. Vehem kashim lazov darchem, and it's tough for them to leave the path that they've taken. Kimosha asu as the egel, the karam sham, just like when they did the egel, and he calls them angshe oref. Okay, so the Ramban, we can stop here in the Ramban. So the second idea, what's the idea of umaltem esor las levavchem? So I was thinking of an example, but it's not just, it's a broad example. But typically, when you speak, I know everyone's probably experienced this, but when you do a public speech, when you're speaking in front of people, a lot of times you'll give over an idea or a thought, and then somebody will come over to you after the class or the presentation, and they'll say, oh, you know, this is what you said, and it was so insightful to me, it meant so much to me. And then when you think about what they're telling you, what the response is, you think to yourself, I didn't say that. I didn't really say anything like that. And yet, the person in the audience heard something different. So I think the idea, so what's the idea of umaltem esor las levavchem? So Moshe is giving us new insight that the Yetzer Hara oftentimes clouds man's ability to be open-minded and to see the truth and to accept it. So the second idea of the Yetzer Hara is that the Yetzer Hara prevents, sometimes, in some situations, the Yetzer Hara of man sometimes will prevent him from having a clear mind and accepting certain truths. Instead, it will cloud him and it will distort the ideas coming through his mind, through his senses. And that's the second idea that Moshe's alluding to, that in the way the Yetzer Hara works. So the first idea is Hashem's idea, that the Yetzer Hara is embedded in man's survival instinct. But the second idea is Moshe's, that Moshe is saying that the Yetzer Hara oftentimes works in a way to prevent man from being open-minded in his acceptance of the truth. So a lot of times, just like the audience member, when you're giving a presentation, sees the ideas through his lens, so too, the Yetzer Hara, it clouds the lens of man. It doesn't allow man to have a clear mind and a clear lens in order to actually accept the ideas as they're being presented. So that's what the Ramban's saying. Look in source number 7. He says, your minds should be open to understanding the truth. So Moshe's advice is, remove the cloud, remove that extra skin, the foreskin, which is preventing you from seeing the truth. Meaning, the nature of the Yetzer Hara is that it prevents man sometimes, and it clouds man's ability to accept the truth in the first place. So that's the second idea. So the second idea in the Yetzer Hara and how it operates is that the Yetzer Hara functions functions to cloud the mind and the lens of man in terms of seeing and hearing ideas and true ideas. Okay, so that's the second point on the Yetzer Hara. So we're going to go through each one and try to analyze them and then put them together. So the third idea is David. So David HaMelech, look in source number 8 in Tehillim. So David says, Lev Tahor Berali Elokim, Beruach Nachon Chadesh Bikirbi. So he's requesting that Hashem create a pure heart. I'm just using the term pure, even though Tahor is not the same point. But he says, Lev Tahor, a pure heart Hashem should create for me, and a good spirit, Chadesh Bikirbi, he should awaken within me, or he should have a new within me. So look at Radak. The Radak over there says, Lev Tahor Barali Elokim, Ki Kavanasi Tova Ma'ata, now my intentions are good, Ve'ata Azraniba, help me, Usmoch Libi V'ruchi She'e Tahor, help me purify my lev and my spirit, V'nachon Shalo Yimshel Bi Yetzer Hara Od, and the Yetzer Hara shouldn't be in control of me anymore. Al Derech, it says this in Gemara Shabbos, Balde Taher Misayimo. So if a person wants to be Tahor, so you should help him. So the term Tahor, a lot of times, is a reference to the idea of removing himself from the Yetzer Hara, purifying himself from the Yetzer Hara. So our Gemara, in source number 1, said that David calls the Yetzer Hara Tame because he's referencing the good Yetzer, or he's referencing himself, and he's asking Hashem to create a Lev Tahor, implying that the Yetzer Hara is a Lev Tame. So what is the characterization of the Yetzer Hara as Tame, as impure? What is that reference? What is that concept, that idea? Okay, so we went through the first two. So now we're going to look through, I was looking through some Rishonim, and I remember that there's a Rambam in Hilchos Mikvos where he talks about the philosophy of Tumah and Tahara. And I thought, maybe if I look at the Rambam and he gives me some philosophical insight into Tumah and Tahara, I can apply that idea to this idea of the Yetzer Hara, where David calls the Yetzer Hara a Tameh, so maybe the idea in the Rambam could give us some insight into that point. So if you look in the Rambam, the Rambam is Hilchos Mikvos, Perkid Aleph, Halacha Yud Beis, is the last halacha in Mikvos. And he says, Davar Baror, the Goloi, Shatumos Vataharos Kzeros Okosavhain. So it's clear that Tuma and Tahara is just Kzeros Okosav. It's in the Psukim. It's not really so clear what the idea is. The Enon Medabrim Shadaito Shal Adam Mechorato. It's not something that man can really understand fully. Why you become Tame, why, what causes Tuma, what causes Tahara. The Rambam says it's included in Chukim because it's not so clear-cut what the nature of the system is. So too, Tvila, when a person goes to the mikvah to become Tahor, it's not clear why you're going to the mikvah. Tuma is not mud, and it's not refuse, it's not dung. That you should go into water, and it should clean you. It doesn't work like that. Tumah is not physical dirt. Elixeris akasavhi. It's just exeris akasav v'adavar toli v'kavanas alev. Really, the whole idea of tumah and tahara is tied to man's intent. Ulufichach. Therefore, amru chachamim tava v'lohuchzak ilu tava. If man goes into does tefillah, let's say you're walking and you dunk into a river, and you have no intent to do tefillah, it's as if you didn't do tefillah. V'afal pichin remez yesh b'davar. There's also a hint to this idea. Kishem shamachavin libor l'taher. When a person tries to purify his heart, kevan shetavol tahor, once he does tevila, he becomes tohor. Va'afal pishlo nischadish begufo davar. Even though nothing new has arisen in his body when he goes to the mikvah and he just immerses in water, kach hamechavin libo l'tahir nafsho mitumos hanefashos shehem achshavos avon v'deos haros. So too, when man wants to separate himself from his evil thoughts and his negative personality traits, his imperfect personality traits, kevan shehiskim belibo lifrosh meosan ha'itzos. When man decides to separate himself, v'hevi nafsho v'mehadas tahor, and then he brings himself to pure thoughts, hareyu omer, that, and then he can do that. Hareyu omer zarakti lechem mayim tahorim etaratem mikol tumusechem umikol giluleichem atahir eschem. This is very appropriate for Yom Kippur. And it says that I'll throw upon you pure water, and you'll be purified, and from all tumah, and from all avodah zarah, Hashem barachma v'rav mikol chet avon v'ashma yitaharenu, amen. So Hashem, with his mercy, will purify us from all chet. So what's the Rambam saying? So the idea of tumah and tahara in the Rambam is that it's not physical, obviously. A woman doesn't go to the mikvah, and a man doesn't go to the mikvah when they're tumah to clean off the dirt. But it's an idea, there's a concept that it's referencing, which is that tumah is really an attachment of sorts. That tumah is an attachment to death, let's say. A person becomes tumah when they come in contact with the dead body, and now man is attached to that idea of death. So he has to go to the mikvah to separate himself from that. So too, when it comes to man's perfection. But the Rambam is saying that man can be attached. Tumah is an idea of attachment. It's like part of you. So man can be attached to certain thoughts and ideas, negative thoughts. And the idea of tevila is that if man desires to separate himself and to purify himself so he can separate his attachment to these thoughts, to these negative thoughts and negative traits. So too. So now this gives us insight into what David is talking about. So, Lev Tar Bara Li Elokim Ruch Nachon Chadish Bikirbi. What does it mean that the Yetzer Hara is Tamei? So the Yetzer Hara being Tamei means that the Yetzer Hara attaches impure ideas and thoughts to man's mind, to man's mind and to his existence. And just like tumah is an attachment of negativity of certain ideas, so too the idea of the yetzer hara is that it works and it functions in a way to attach itself as a fixture to man and to man's mind. So the third idea of it's a little different than the first two. The first idea again was the idea that the yetzer hara is embedded within man's survival instinct. And the second idea is that the Yetzer Hara clouds man's ability to see the truth. And the third idea is David. David's saying insight that the Yetzer Hara works in a way where it attaches man to imperfections. It attaches man's to flawed ideas, just like, and that's what the Rambam is referencing in his idea of Tumah and Tahara, that really the purpose of being Matahir yourself is to separate yourself from those ideas, those thoughts. So too, the Yetzer Hara is really Tameh, in the sense, in the way that it works. It works in a way that it attaches itself to man's thoughts, to man's mind. Okay? So the fourth idea, we're going to keep going. A couple more points, and then we'll put it all together. So the fourth idea is the Shlomo. So Shlomo says, Im ra'ev sona'acha ha'chileu lechem bim tzameh hishkeu mayim. It's in Mishlei. It's source number 10. If your enemy is hungry, give it bread. And if it's thirsty, give it water. Rashi, Imra Ev Sonacha Kimashmao. So there's the Pshat, and then he says, Rabasina Pishu al Yetzer Hara. Imra Evhu V'Omer L'cha Lasbio Aba Averos. If it's hungry and it wants to satisfy its hunger through Averos, Mashach Es Atmecha L'Vesa Medrash. Go to the Besa Medrash. V'Achilu Milchama Shal Torah. Sorry, it should be Milachma. Sorry. V'Achilu Milachma Shal Torah. You should feed it the bread of Torah. V'chein Yishkeu Mayim Miyameha Shal Torah. You should give it water from the water of Torah. So what's the insight of Shlomo? So Shlomo is saying an interesting idea. Shlomo is saying that the way that it works, the way that the Yetzer Hara works is like an enemy. It's sonacha, it's oppositional. But the idea that the Pasuk is referencing is that the Yetzer Hara drives itself towards a certain goal. Like it wants, your Yetzer Hara wants to be satisfied with, let's say, a steak. I'm using the appetitive desire, but let's say steak, right? So it wants to be, or non-kosher cheeseburger. So it wants to be satisfied with a certain goal, with a certain end. So Shlomo's saying that the Yetzer Hara can be satisfied partially through a different method, through different methods. And the person's job, a person's job is to understand that the Yetzer Hara, how the Yetzer Hara works, how an enemy works. On the one hand, the enemy is driving and it's oppositional and it's driving towards a certain goal, but be smart when you're dealing with the enemy. The idea of Shlomo is that you have to treat the enemy in an intelligent way and you have to try to satisfy it in a way where you don't give into it completely and you stifle it and you stifle its ability to overcome you. So the idea of Shlomo, of Sone, is a little bit different. He's saying that you have to treat it as someone that's oppositional to you, as something that's oppositional, but you have to be intelligent. You can't fight it head on. That's the idea of Shlomo. You can't just attack it head on. You have to satisfy it. You have to give it Lachma Shel Torah, meaning you have to give it the bread of Torah. You have to give it another method. You have to try to satisfy it through a more moderate method. And in that way, only in that way, will you take control of it. Will you take control of the enemy of the Yetzer Hara? So that's the fourth idea, the idea of Shlomo. So now, the fifth idea, source number 12. And then, V'amar solu solu panu derech, harimi michshol miderech ami. So this is the fifth idea. It says, cast ye up, I think, solu solu, panu derech, harimi michshol. So it means, open up the pathways and remove the stumbling blocks, miderech ami, from the path of my nation. So look in Rashi over there in source number 13. He says, V'amar solu solu, ko amar hanavi bishmi la'ami. This is what the Navi Yeshaya said to in my name to my nation. Kipshu Mesila Salula, pave a paved street, Panu Yetzer Hara Midarchechem. Remove the Yetzer Hara from your path. Harimu Michshol. Michshol is a stumbling block, which is the Yetzer Hara. Salku Ha'avanim. You should remove the stones, Shatem Nichshalim, Regilim Bahem, Raglechem Bahem, sorry, remove the stones that cause you to stumble. Some cause your legs to stumble. Haim hirhure Russia. These are the thoughts. Hirhurim are like thoughts, fantasies, the fantasy of the Russia. So Yeshaya references the Yetzer Hara and calls the Yetzer Hara a michshol, a stumbling block. And Rashi says here, what are the stumbling blocks? The stumbling blocks are the hirhure Russia. So this is the fifth idea. The fifth idea, what is the concept? What's the stumbling block? The nature of the Yetzer Hara is a stumbling block. The idea seems to be tied to fantasy. That man, that the Yetzer Hara functions to create fantasies within man's mind. If I just do this, this will happen to me. You start fantasizing about the future and how you're going to accomplish and satisfy the Yetzer Hara. And those are stumbling blocks, meaning they lead man down a path which is going to cause him to fail. So the idea is remove the stumbling blocks, meaning recognize the nature of fantasy. And the Yetzer Hara is the driving force of fantasy. And then you'll be spared from the Yetzer Hara. You'll be spared from the nature of the Yetzer Hara. So the fifth idea of the Yetzer Hara, what's the name of Michshol? It's a reference to the Yetzer Hara being the driving force of fantasy. That when a man has fantasy, and when they think about things and violating the Torah and doing Averos, so they're stumbling blocks. Meaning recognize that the Yetzer Hara is the cause of it, and ultimately it'll cause you to fail if you follow down that path, the path of the fantasy. So that's why I think he says, Hirhure Rasha, Rashi. Hirhurim are typically the fantasy of man. So the sixth idea is Yechezkel. Yechezkel says as follows, if anybody has any questions, just stop me, or anybody want to add anything, you can stop me at any point in the shir. So the sixth idea is Yechezkel. He says, V'nosati lachem lev chadash v'ruach chadasha etain bekir bechem. So the idea is, Yechezkel calls the Yetzer Hara, he says it's an Evan, it's a stone. So it says, remove Leva Evan, the stone, the heart, the hardened heart, Mibisarchem, from your flesh. So the Metzudas Dovin in source number 15 says, Leva Evan, look in source number 2, and the line number 2, Lev HaChazach V'Akasha Ke'Evan. So this is the Lev, the heart, that's really hard, like a stone. So the sixth idea is Yechezkel. So he characterizes the Yetzer Hara as a stone, as a hardened stone. As opposed to Lev Basar, look at the last line of Mitzvah, Lev Nichna V'Rach Basar, soft heart. So the difference between the Yetzer Hara and the Yetzer Tov, according to Yechezkel, then part of the nature of the Yetzer Hara is that it's like stone. What does it mean it's like stone? It means that the Yetzer Hara has a certain, there's a certain hardness to its drive. Meaning, when the Yetzer Hara, when the evil inclination of man wants to accomplish something, when it's driving towards a certain goal, so it's very hard to soften it. It's very hard to for it to waver. It typically has a certain end goal in mind, and it's stuck on that goal. So a person should recognize that the nature of the Yetzer Hara is such that it's hard. It's a lev ha'evin. It's such that it's unwavering in its determination to accomplish and satisfy the goal, the instinctual goal. And finally, the last idea is Yoel. So Yoel, in source number 10, calls the Yetzer Hara tzfoni. Look in source number 16. He says, not source number 10, source number 16. V'satzfoni archik me'aleichem. That which is hidden, I will make or remove from you. V'idachti v'el eretz yoh. So he says, I'm going to remove that which is hidden. Look in source number 17, Rashi. Some want to say it's about the locusts. Our rabbis teach us in Sukkah, it's hidden in man's heart. So this is the last point. What does it mean that the Yetzer Hara is tzafon? It's hidden. So I think that Yoel is teaching us this insight, that the Yetzer Hara oftentimes is part of the hidden parts of man's mind, which are the unconscious, the subconscious, all those elements of man that are not apparent to man. So that's oftentimes the Yetzer Hara works in the shadows. It works in the recesses of man's mind, and sometimes you have to do analysis. Sometimes you have to really think about those thoughts, those underlying thoughts, in order to get to the root of the Yetzer Hara, in order to attack and battle the Yetzer Hara. So oftentimes that's the idea that it's tzafon, it's hidden in man's mind. So really, just there's seven ideas. It's not really seven names, but there's seven ideas or insights that we can have to how the evil inclination, which I'm defining as the drive of man to cause him harm and really to take him away from, you know, the path of Hashem. There are seven ideas or aspects of it that the Gemara is trying to highlight. So let's just review. We'll review them. And I think these ideas are critical in terms of our approach to them when we do tshuva, recognizing how it works. But really, there's seven ideas. So the first idea is the Hashem. Hashem calls it Ra. And we saw from the Pasuk that in the Radak, that the idea of that the Pasuk's alluding to is that man's Yetzer Hara is really more ingrained than the Yetzer HaTov, because it's really attached to the need or the instinct for survival. And that's why when man is created, he doesn't have a Yetzer HaTov. Like the Radak says, the Yetzer HaTov develops over time. Man has the potential for the Yetzer HaTov, and the mind is capable of conquering the Yetzer Hara as man gets older. But when he's a baby, he just has the instincts. And the instincts are really the source of the Yetzer Hara. So they're really more ingrained in man, and they have a certain embeddedness in man's survival. And then the Moshe's idea is a different idea, that the Yetzer Hara a lot of times clouds a person's ability to accept ideas, to accept truth. So I was giving you the example of speaking to an audience, that when you speak to an audience, a lot of times people perceive the speaker's thoughts within or from their own lenses, and a lot of times it's not beneficial. So you have to try to remove the Yetzer Hara, the elements, the instincts that prevent you from accepting certain ideas in the Torah and accepting certain truths. They have to be removed, and that's Moshe's insight. Umal temes or las levavchem, that the Yetzer Hara can function to prevent man from accepting certain ideas. The third idea is David. David's saying that the Yetzer Hara is tameh, that it functions like tumah. Tumah attaches itself to man. And you have to separate yourself from it. So too, the Yetzer Hara attaches man's mind to certain thoughts, to certain flaws and imperfections. And you know, when you do tshuva you have to separate yourself from the Yetzer Hara, and you have to separate yourself from those ideas. But the third insight of David is the way that the Yetzer Hara works, in the way that it attaches itself. It attaches certain corrupt ideas to man. The fourth idea is Shlomo. Shlomo is saying, treat the Yetzer Hara like an enemy, but he gives us insight. He's saying that the Yetzer Hara can be quashed by giving into it, but not giving into what it really wants. So you give it Torah, meaning you give it certain satisfaction, but you don't have to satisfy it fully in order to conquer it. You can satisfy it in a minimal way and still be successful. The fifth idea is Yeshaya. He says that the concept is the idea of a stumbling block. And we said that stumbling block, the Yetzer Hara is a stumbling block, is really the function of the Yetzer Hara in producing fantasies within man. That when man fantasizes about a certain pleasure or a certain instinctual gratification, a lot of times it draws men into a certain path on how to act, and that's a stumbling block. It usually creates a situation where a man fails. The sixth idea is Yechezkel, which is that the idea of the Yetzer Hara is that it's like a stone. So in the sense that a stone is hard, it's chazak, meaning, and it's not soft, it's unwavering in its determination. So the idea of the strength of a stone is a reference to the Yetzer Hara, because the Yetzer Hara, when it's determined to gratify a certain drive, it's stuck on that, and it gets stuck on that idea, and it's hard for the Yetzer Hara to soften up, to waver. And the last idea is Yoel. So Yoel is teaching us that the Yetzer Hara is tzafon, it's hidden. It means that the Yetzer Hara a lot of times can function within the recesses of man's mind. It can function from the unconscious element of man. And a lot of times, in order to conquer the Yetzer Hara, you have to get to these underlying root ideas in the recesses of man's mind in order to do tshuva properly. So those are all the insights of the Gemara and Sukkah. All right. So hopefully, you know, everyone will take these insights when you're doing tshuva. I think it's relevant to understand how the Yetzer Hara works in order to, like I said, in order to overcome it, to do tshuva properly. You really have to understand, you know, how it's working. In some situations, we're also clouded. Our ability to accept the truth is clouded. So we have to try to analyze when those situations are and take advantage of it and understand that our drives are really causing us to not accept a certain truth. So these are all just ideas or insights to help us in our tshuva process for Yom Kippur. Okay, so everybody have a Gemara Chasima Tovah.